It's my pleasure at this time to invite Pastor Blake Purcell to come to bring us the Word of God this morning. Blake, as many of you know, is a full-time missionary serving in St. Petersburg, Russia, where he heads the Slavic Reformation Society, a Reformed seminary that we have supported for years here at Church of the King. And he'll be giving us more information on that at our fellowship lunch, which I hope you can all stay. I did ask Blake to show us the courtesy of preaching to us in English this morning, which he has said he would do. So, Blake, welcome.
Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 10. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be God.
Let's pray. Father, we know that apart from you we can do nothing. Christ said it himself, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so we ask that you enable us today to understand your words through my mouth. And may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be accepting in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. It was a little surprising that when John and I were visiting yesterday to realize that it had been 6 years since I had been here. And you all have been faithfully supporting us through prayers and very significant sacrificial financial giving since then. So that probably sets the record for the most involved church, the least, and I've seen y'all almost the least. I do have to say, though, there is one reason why I haven't seen you. The Atlantic Ocean is 12 time zones wide. I mean, 12 hours wide when we fly it. And the drive yesterday was only about a third of the drive, and that was a 12-hour drive, so, from Texas where we furlough. So anyway, so if the trip was part of the gift, then I've given you a great gift. And I thought there were people in New Mexico, Arizona, and Southern California. Okay, I want to tell you a story that I think illustrates our passage here pretty well. How many of y'all know what animal, okay, 10 years and younger maybe, how many of y'all know what animal represents the Soviet Union, or Russia, really, Russia? Now, in Russia, we have a little interaction. I'm sorry if I'm breaking a golden rule, but I've been known to just wait for an answer a very long time. So, anyway, what animal represented the Soviet Union or Russia? Yes, ma'am. Very good. A bear. That's right. So one of the most interesting students we've ever had is named Ravil Kunikayev. He came right from the Russian army to seminary. This was about the year 2000. And I had trained 5 years of my life to do nothing but shoot and blow up Russians in the Russian army. Okay? So I knew, I studied from 1977 to 1981, you know, very particularly how to do that. And so I knew all about the Russian army. And the Soviet Army, really, but it hadn't changed all that much by the year 2000 when I met this man. So I was quite surprised that I honestly didn't think he could be morally or spiritually qualified to be in the seminary. How can you come right from the Russian Army and go into seminary? It's probably the first time in the history of the Soviet Union that that happened. Maybe. But, you know, God does all sorts of things that we never expect. So we accepted him, but that's not really the whole story. Because before we accepted him, there were at least seven other students that started out the seminary about 2 years before he came. In fact, it was through those other seven students that we got to know Reveal. Reveal is a pastor now of a CREC church in Siberia. His life has been a wonderful testimony of the power of God, and in a very dark and brutal place to plant a church. But those seven students, I will never forget, because one of them, you know, this is going to shock you a little bit. One of them ended up, this is what we started our seminary with. I'm just trying to impress you with how good a judgment we all have over in Russia. One of them ended up being a wife beater. One of them came and immediately started complaining about everything and left with his stipend and bought a bunch of toys for his kids and then just disappeared. That was interesting. One of the Orthodox Church, I'm trying to think who else was there. Well, one of those first students stole $2,000 from one of the pastors. Doesn't that entice you to come visit us? So, that's my story. Now, I'm gonna explain how that explains our text now. Let's look here at our passage. And I want to ask you, I'm going to read it again about the animals here, and I'm going to ask you, what's the difference between these two groups of animals? The wolf shall dwell with a lamb, the leopard shall lie down with a goat. So we got a lamb, and a wolf and a lamb, and then we got a leopard and a goat, and we keep going. We got a calf and a lion. We have a little child leading them. We have a cow and a bear. We have a lion and an ox. Okay? And it goes on a little bit further, but that's good enough. What is the difference between those two different kinds of animals? Again, anyone 10 years or younger, and if that doesn't work, we'll go up to 15 and 20. What's the difference between one group of animals there and the other group? All right, 15 years old. Yes. Okay, very good. They're enemies. That's a better word than I had thought of. That's very good. They are enemies. In fact, if you look at verse 9, they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. One group that can really do nothing but what? Hurt and destroy. Hey, you know, I've never seen a lion. I've only seen him on TV, basically, but I've never seen a lion on TV or a leopard or a wolf, come home and build and set a nice dinner on the table. You know, I've never seen a wolf make a room look nicer. I've never seen a wolf on TV be nice to a lamb, and not just the point of a wolf's existence is essentially what? To be in a pack and tear lambs limb from limb, right? I mean, seems like it. So these men that we started working with, I believe in many ways were wolves. They hurt people, and they destroyed things. That was what we began working with. But I want you to know and understand that this whole passage is basically a conflict between two cultures or two kingdoms. And I'll go into more specifically what I mean by that. But you have altar language here, and you have jungle language or wilderness language. Okay? And if you look at... in Russia, I have people read the scriptures so I don't have to work out because I'm preaching in Russian and all that. So I wouldn't mind somebody reading this. Daniel 7, 3 through 4. You don't have Bibles with you? I guess you can't read it if you don't have a Bible. Okay. Daniel 7, 3 through 4, and if I can find it, I'll read it, but I try not to make myself work too much. Daniel 7, 3 through 4, yeah. That's good. Okay. In the book of Isaiah and in the prophets, if you go back to Genesis 49, actually all these animals, almost all of them, are represented as tribes of Israel in a very positive light. But by the time the prophets come along, these animals represent empires and kingdoms. And so essentially, what we have here in the context is, there's different empires there, but it'd be like the Persians lying down with God's people. Because in Leviticus 11, the ox, the lamb, the goat, whatever else there is here, these are all clean animals, and what are they? What are they used for? Yes, sacrifice. They're all sacrificial animals. So these are God's people, I believe. This is primarily not talking about physical animals. When Christ comes back, he has the right to actually have lions eat straw. I'm not going to argue about that. If God wants lions to eat straw, that's his right. But I think primarily for us, he's talking about people. Okay? And people of different do all the verbs that are here. These are very powerful verbs. People of Persia and Rome and Greece and the Medes and the Persians, and there was one other one that I thought. Babylonia? Yes. Are going to be at peace and live with God's people. That's the vision. That's what lions lying down with lambs is all about. It's an incredible vision. We don't have time today for me to go into detail in Ephesians 4. But in Ephesians 4, 16, 15 and 16, I think you already had it in your somewhere, but let's look there. And I might be was supposed to have read it from the pulpit, but let's see if I can find Ephesians. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together in the old version, here held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes bodily growth and builds itself up in love. The vision that is cast here by the Apostle Paul is one, I think, nine times the word church, or and many more times the word body is used in Ephesians. Same time, what church is it talking about? And what body is it talking about? The local body or the global body? Global. The global body of Christ. So here, the vision is that somehow these various empires and foreign countries of the whole globe are joined and knit together as a body with lots of joints that God has equipped them with. And when these joints and ligaments and muscles and all this other blood vessels, maybe, I'm reading between the lines a little bit, but all those things, when they work properly, make the whole global body grow. And that is what the prophet Isaiah it pictures for us here. A global body of Christ that is growing up together. In fact, that's kind of the good news. That's the positive side. That's the easy side. Because let me go on explain that there's another side to this. But in context, I want to take you real quick before I talk about this other side. Let's look at Isaiah 66, what this is in the context of. Isaiah 66, and I can find it. We can start with verse 20. Well, it's one of these complicated passages. Let's start with verse 19. And from them I will send survivors to the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, who draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the coastlands afar off, that have not heard of my fame or seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the nations, and they shall bring all your brothers from all the nations as an offering to the Lord on horses and in chariots and in litters and mules and on dromedaries to my holy mountain Jerusalem. This passage explains what the holy mountain in verse Isaiah 11:9 is. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. What is the holy mountain? It's the church. It's the global church. And here we find, therefore, that lions laying lambs is a part of what I should call a global liturgy. Okay? In the context of Isaiah, God says, I'm doing a new thing, and I'm going to bring world unity and world peace. It's going to be in the church, and I'm going to send out people to all the nations, and they're going to bring back all the nations, your brothers from all the nations, as an offering. And so this is a global liturgy. It's a global worship service. God sends out, and they come back. God sends out, and they come back, bringing offerings. Every Sunday, we bring offerings, don't we? We bring offerings of praise. We bring offerings of money. Joel 2, we bring offerings of bread and wine from Joel 2. We bring offerings. But that's a local liturgy, isn't it? God gives us things, we bring them in. God gives us more, we take them out, He sends us out, and so forth. So there's a cycle. Now, if you look at Acts 13, I'm going to tell you something that should encourage you. Acts 13. And I'm sorry, 15. 15:4. And whoever finds that first can read it. Okay. Verse 3. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. This is Isaiah 66 happening in real life. Okay? God had already sent them out. They had already come back. And it brought great joy. So the pattern is that you all have participated in sending me, and actually through me, many others, out. And then I'm to come back and bring a report that brings you joy. That's my job. Okay? And so, I'll do that right here. You can say, well, what did you do today? I was part of the global liturgy. You can tell your neighbors. So, what has happened? Well, from 1990 to 99, before I knew you all, the Lord had us work with college students who then married each other and had children, and they wanted us to form a church. So in 1998, I was ordained to the Presbyterian Church in America and went back and formed the church and opened up a training center that was basically a branch of the church to train other leaders and other pastors. And so it took about 10 years to form that first church. Now, from about 2000 or 1999 to 2003 or 4, we had one more church added to us, because we trained a pastor named Oleg Volkov. So we had a little sort of a functioning presbytery. We called it a presbytery. We were in the PCA then. We had the right to call it a presbytery. And so there was these two little churches. But then about 5 or 6 years ago, the Lord led us to open up an extension service, an extension ministry, I mean. And what we do now is we bring pastors in, and God is continuing to open up more and more doors. Now we have pastors that want to join see and be a part of our movement from 9 time zones in 4 or 5 countries, okay, representing 10 churches. So we have a pastor in Latvia amongst the Russian speaking people. Latvia, Uzbekistan, a totally Muslim nation. We have another Muslim nation, Kazakhstan, a pastor we're training there who wants to join the CREC. We have a church in Siberia. They mentioned we have a church in European Russia in St. Petersburg. We have then 4 or 5 churches in the Far East by North Korea and Japan. 9 time zones wide. God really loves convenience. And so it's an incredible spread. So what started out 20 years ago as a Bible study in our living room of about 50 students is now spread to 9 time zones, and about 500 people are in all these churches. So that should bring you joy. Talking about missions is not the easiest thing if you've actually done missions. Okay? the problem. If I hadn't done it, I could just be up here and not cry. But, we've been through too much. So, it's too close to heart. All right. But that is the good news. Now I'm going to, you think it's been boring so far. Now I'm going to really catch your attention. Okay. I see some of you falling asleep, but I'm going to wake you up now. Okay, Matthew 10:16. Let's look there. And this is a terrible verse. And all of us in some part of our hearts wish that it was not here, if you have any common sense. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. That's horrible. You see, the little child feed them, it says. So this is obviously talking about these wild, savage nations being led by someone that's very evil and weak, a little child, or a lamb amidst wolves. Okay? And so, we think that missions is, sometimes, we think that missions is sort of almost romantic. You go out and these people are waiting for you and they're going to be nice to you. And around them is going to be so grateful. They're so hungry for the Word of God. And it's just going to work out great. Your wife will love it. Your kids are going to love it. It's just, more fun than you've ever had before. But the Scripture actually says that sheep among wolves. Among wolves. And so, in fact, I'll this way, and we'll go to Isaiah 53. When you go as a missionary to a hostile and brutal culture or nation, okay, when you go out that way, you are actually useless to the Lord until you are a sheep that's been ravaged by the wolves. You're useless. I'll say it that way. So we'll talk about Isaiah 53, but I'll give you an example, and this, it'll make you laugh, but it's more painful than it sounds. It's also funny, so it's a strange story. In 1990, when we moved, I wanted a turkey for Thanksgiving. And, I'm an American, we're going to have a turkey. So I was supposed to teach English classes at 11 o'clock in the morning. I went out. This was the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union was not going to fall for another year, so we were there under communism for a whole year in 1990. And I went out to buy a turkey. You need to ask me the whole story because I have to abbreviate it for the sake of time. I went out to buy a turkey. And out of hearts, I thought, yes, I'm a disciple of Christ. Oh, yes, yes. I'm a disciple of Christ. And I can take it. And if I can't take it, then I have righteous anger. And, in other words, things are going to make sense in a general way. So I went out, went to the train station. And at the train station was where the turkey from Finland and a bunch of other, we had had, almost no fruit. We'd had, there was no food in the stores. My wife at the last minute, we decided to bring beans and rice. We had three children and Lewis was on the way at the time. Lewis was not born yet. And so we had no food. And I got to the train station, and the lady, I barely found the place. The lady said, we have no boxes here. But I just walked by all these boxes. And she was in a dark cavern of a building. And so she said, well, you can't get those boxes until the customs officials come. And this is when I began to have mental problems. I said, when does the custom agent come? She said, oh, he never comes here. So, I wanted this turkey. And the story goes on. I had to go back and forth and back and forth, and I was very impatient. I was kinder to her than this other customs agent was. This is an older woman. But it went on and on, and I'm not kidding. it took all day long to get these like three boxes of goods, and I was in a taxi all day long going back and get things stamped to say we didn't owe taxes on things like this. All over the place. There was a line of 300 Jews immigrating, and I had to cut in front of these Jews trying to get out of the country as they were having their silver stolen from them. And I mean it. And so I'm going through this, and I'm continued to get more and more impatient. And I'll just finish the funny part. So there's this weighing station, and I'm going to get our turkey, and I'm going to get these oranges, these navel oranges. I was already salivating, and it's going to happen. And all of a sudden, they say you have to bring the boxes into this cavernous warehouse. I'm thinking I'm never going to see them again. This is, you know, I'm just giving them to the government. So this man is screaming at me on top of the loading dock, get those boxes in Russian. I knew about 10 words of Russian, but he's screaming. I mean, I could tell what you're saying. And so a lady walks by, and I say, you know, madam, could you help me? She starts screaming. And so finally, this is 5 hours into the project. We go down, they stamp it, they weigh it, they stamp it, you don't owe any tax. And the man who had been losing his mind screaming at me says, can I have a Coke? We had some Cokes. I gave him a Coke. I was so happy to have him. I would have given him half the stuff. Can I have another? Oh, well, we kept walking. He took two Cokes. He'd been screaming at me for about 2 years. So, what was God doing? God was giving me an experience. Isaiah 53. And maybe it doesn't sound that hard to you, but I want you to go through it not knowing that there was going to be a happy ending. You try it out. It's a lot worse than it sounds. I promise you, at least for me it was. Okay, Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. You see, Christ was the Lamb who goes out and wins and converts and transforms lions. In fact, in this passage, the very first part of it, he talks about fighting to get the people that God is raising up as lambs to bring them in. That's all this justice the passage. And so, before I could have any credibility with bringing Russians to Christ, and this was actually about 9 months before we started the ministry, God took me through these kinds of experiences and my wife through them almost every day. We were treated absolutely without any dignity, just like all the other Russians were. We were screamed at in every store we went to. They never had any foreigners, you know. We're going, counting money. We couldn't say anything. So they thought we were faking. So it was a horrible time. It was a horrible time. And yet, I believe that God wanted, if you go to Lamentations 3, there. Lamentations 3, somebody, maybe if I can find it written down, somebody else can read it. This is a passage you never want to experience, and yet I'm afraid it's God's will for most of us. Lamentations 3, 10 through 11, who can read that? Okay. The terrible thing about that passage is who that is. He. It's God. Okay. You see, the horrible thing about what those people screaming at me was, is that was God tearing me to pieces. See, when you go out as a lamb amongst lions, they are going to tear you to pieces. They are going to. And guess who that is? It's God. That's horrible. That was horrible. And guess what? It took me about 10 years to figure that out. You know, you're getting the riches of the whole deal here in a very painless way, at least relatively painless. But that's the horrible thing. This lions laying down with lambs is actually in the global liturgy, it's all about us becoming like Christ, Christ sending us out as lambs among wolves, and then we get torn to pieces, and then we become credible for the people that live in those What does it say in Matthew 9? They're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I honestly believe, in fact, I'll tell you this story in a second, but if my family had not been there those 10 years when it was the most hellacious, if we hadn't been there, we would have almost former Soviet Union. We had to be torn to pieces for 10 years. It wasn't every day. I mean, we didn't lose our mind every day. Every other day. You think I'm kidding, but you see, Christ bore our griefs and our sorrows. When we go out in the name of Christ and imitate Jesus Christ, we have to bear the pain of the nations around us and the cultures around us. We absolutely have to. And there's a really tough student we had about 3 years ago. He's now a CRE pastor. And he's a tough guy. He was raised right outside the gulag. Tough guy. And he was, you know, struggling with us teaching him because, as I just said, he had been through such a hard life. His prisoner. And he had a very, very difficult life being raised in the Soviet Union. His prisoner. He was treated like dirt. And so he was struggling with... We were teaching authoritatively on various character issues, perhaps, at the seminary. And this man was almost my age. And so he was struggling with this. Who are you to come here and teach us these things? You could just tell. He was riled up. Who come here and teach us these things? Perhaps like get government schools. That's very controversial in Russia. Very painful for them. Very difficult for them. So that's probably something like that I was talking about. And he was riled up, and we had a break, and I thought, well, you know, when I was younger, I would talk about submitting to spiritual authorities, like, well, how was I a spiritual authority? You know, he came to the seminary, okay, big deal. You know, that was hard. So I thought about it, and I thought, okay, I think I know what I need to share. So we get back, and the class gets together, and I said, you know, so this might be hard for some of y'all, but I want you to share with you what we went through in the 90s. And I shared how my wife had been attacked by the mafia, how another son had been attacked, how there was no food, how my daughter had been attacked. It was just a litany of things, okay? And I was just trying to share with him what we'd really been through. And this man went, he was a real lion of a man. This man went being angry with me. Wow, it's screaming, yeah. He went from being angry with me to crying. This guy raised in the gulag. Yeah. It's like we have some neighbors that it sounded like wasn't a lion. that's a good thing, it wasn't a lion. Wow, you're gonna deal with that. So, how God transforms the world is when we go out as lambs amidst wolves. That's how He does it. And we get torn up. And, you know, it's interesting. The lambs here, what are these lambs? These lambs are sacrificial animals. Leviticus 1. Leviticus 1 says that, what do you do with a lamb? You first lay your hands on it. And that's the first step. You lay your hands on a sacrificial animal. Later on, you pour out its blood. So there's two things you do. These lambs they're for, and these oxes and these goats, they are to have our hands laid on them, our sins, and their blood is to be outpouring. Okay? Two things. Those are the two purposes of all these sacrificial animals. And so, when you accept of the people that you're ministering to, when you feel what they feel, then you are just acting like a lamb. We're lambs, and we are made to have the pain of the world laid on us. And that's what Christ had. In fact, He had that before He won the people. Before they even understood what He did, He was already accepting their griefs and their sorrows. When you accept the pain of the world around you and the complexity of it, you're being like Christ, you're acting like a lamb. If you don't accept it, will not be his hands laid upon. It's not a lamb. Or it's a lamb that's running off the altar. Running, you know, there he goes. See? And the second is a lamb laying down with lions, is in Isaiah 58. It's a similar liturgical verb, Isaiah 58. Okay. You know, this is a great passage, the whole thing, about the true fast. But if you take away, verse 9 and 10, if you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted. I'll just stop there. If you pour yourself out, what is that? I just read it in Leviticus 1 this morning. You take a bird and you pour it out on the altar. The other ones, they threw the blood. You're acting like a lamb. When you pour your... I can't see. If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, what are you being? You're being a lamb. You pour yourself out for the poor around you or for the needy around you. You pour yourself out is in the context of the global liturgy for these nations, for these to win the lions, to win the oxes, to win the bears to Christ. God calls us to pour ourselves, and that's just what a Christian is. A Christian is a lamb, is a sheep. You are made to have the pains of the world laid on you, and to be poured out for the hungry and the afflicted. That's your calling. That's your purpose. That's who you are in Christ. So, I'll finish with a story. As I've already told a few, but Eric Sauter was a man that I visited. He's the pastor of a church in Christ the King. And as far as I can remember, his church is fleshing out what I think the Bible means about pouring yourself out, being a true lamb to win the lions of the world to Christ. I went to their church about, well, after I went to yours, 5 years ago maybe, or 4 years ago. And they were enthusiastic about helping adopt a church overseas, particularly in Siberia. So their first step was to send Eric to Siberia. He went to Siberia. He met Reveal. He came back to me. And he said, I'll just tell you the part that they've done. He met Reveal. Then I think the next step was he had Reveal come and preach in this church. All right? Then last year, that was about 4 years ago, last year he took two of his leading men from his church and went to Siberia again and visited us and went to Siberia again. And they had more fellowship. In between Reveal's, about the same time maybe, Reveal's daughter, Margarita, came down with total kidney failure. And Eric and I were doing everything we could to try to get the best medical attention we could. Former Soviet Union, and she died. You probably heard about that. Margarita died. So we had their funeral there in St. Petersburg, and then I baptized their son, Nathan, two weeks later. But this whole time, Eric was intimately involved, even though he's a pastor thousands of miles away. Intimately involved. In fact, here's what Reveal said to me. He said to me, you know, the Russians and the two men, they can't accept death. Have nothing to say. Pastor, church, they have no way to minister to me. They said only you and Eric were able to speak words that brought some meaning to what was going on and some comfort in what was going on. Only, and here's a man who's lived in his whole life and no one could help him when his daughter was dying except Eric in Springfield who lived there. Now, what has happened is after that, the whole family came, and she had some medical help. And then, in about 3 weeks from now, Eric is taking some people from Shade's church, and I think about six people from his church, and they're going to go help run a summer camp. And so literally, what we have going on here is lions laying down with lambs, if you want to call us the lamps. But we have nations that just a few years ago were at total odds. We have a man from the army, and an American CREC church is literally pouring itself out from that. I'm not going to mention how much money they give officially and unofficially. You can ask me during the ministry. You would not believe how much this church gives. You would not believe. You all have given great, and you all have been for a long, long time. So you all have been, but this church, I don't know what they're doing, but unless they're ridiculous, they are being very sacrificial. And so that this is, I believe, be honest, if we, God has a way of cornering you. When it says He is a lion in Lamentations 3, it says He hides. And what God does is He gets you to obey in one little step. And then you can handle that. And then another little step. And then another little step. And finally, before you know it, you're confronted with it's tearing you to pieces by God's will. One little teeny step at a time. That's what being poured out is. And I fill you more in on that. But here's what I wanted to finish my thoughts with in Isaiah 58. Because when Eric came back the first time, he testified to this reality. If you pour yourself out like a lamb for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. That church pouring itself out, as far as I know, they are growing numerically. As far as I know, God's blessing. I mean, you think they'd have nothing home. They've given so much. But God is blessing them. And the first thing He said is, you know what? I'm getting more than I'm here with all these mature people. And then He said, we saw how much they did so little. I mean, the whole church, like $300 a month. They have a church about like ours. Various times. And the percentage of evangelical believers in the Soviet Union is 0.5. So find anybody that wants to relate to a Protestant or evangelical, possible. Reveals is not just the only Reformed churches out there. It's one of the only churches out there in the city of a million. One of the only, there's like churches in a city of a million. So He said, when I saw that these people's faith and perseverance amidst undaunting resistance, He said, He knew I was getting more of a blessing than giving. He said, these people are more mature than I am. He said, I don't know if I would endure this. I've said that. We've talked about that. I've said to the guy, I am a spoiled American. Yes, I've lived here a lot. I've been through a lot. But you know what? I can always get out. I always have some place to go. And they don't, for the most part. So, the Lord, it's funny. CREC people are very particular. They want a ministry that has all of our distinctives. That's great. That's a trap. The Lord's got you. He's a lion waiting. If you want a mission that has our distinctives and worship and all the things that we love and we're strong in, psalm singing, guess what? No one is going to support 10 churches or 20 churches of the former Soviet Union except like the CREC. No one. You're trapped. It's your own doing. We're particular. I'm particular. Okay. God said, all right, you're going to be particular? I'll give you a big assignment. You're going to be particular? Well, I'll be particular with you. That's true. That's exactly what God's doing. And so, where we end up as we become lambs to win the lions, where we end up is not at all where we thought God was going to take us. And my hope and prayer is not only your church, but the whole church understands that God has the right to change the purposes for our very existence. I promise you, I did not ever plan on going and being a missionary to the Soviet Union. I never planned on being treated the way I've been treated. I never planned it. And if God had told me, I'm just so glad He didn't tell me. I don't know what. So, if you want a blessing, you want to know Christ in an intimate way, get involved in pouring yourself out for your community and for the nations of the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.